Blog Talk Radio.
The looks of it, and the evidence doesn't lie, we certainly do need devotion at all. My name is Yom Sufa Reese, and this is the Real Talk for Real People show, a show that is designed to give you a bird's eye view of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaqub. how you should interact with him in a of a constructive sort, and how you should interact with one another of a constructive sort, and strangers, different nations, of a constructive sort. And that's all about compliance and obedience, not about shucking and jiving, not about showing up to show out and showboat. It's simply by compliance to do whatever the commander-in-chief tells you to do, how to do it, and when to do it. And don't veer to the left and all right. That would suffice and work for you. Something otherwise would be quite different. The outcome would be of a negative sort, where you don't have a constructive relationship with the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaakov. But before we get started, you know, I like to always make contemporary comments about ongoing subject matters. Now, as you see, Cartier indicated that this is a bloodthirsty land, somewhat reading in the book of Proverbs. And it seems to be with a bloodthirsty people with fools as leaders. And why do I say that? You know, when Cartier and I were growing up in the 60s and 70s, you know, it wasn't all of that. You know, maybe they had little zip guns or a little fight, a little stabbing, but now it's just escalating in a negative sort. 45 mass killings last month. And not to mention the individual murder by police officers and or each other. And a 13 boy in Chicago shot down because of a criminal injustice system. Some people say, Yum Soup, maybe they need to patch it up, change everything, just put a patch here, put a patch there, put a patch everywhere. No, that's not a good surprise. You see, when you have a criminal injustice system that has been built by a criminal organization, which is universal white race supremacy, the outcome would be the same no matter you patch here, patch there, patch everywhere. No, the whole system must be torn down from the top to the bottom, along with the police officers, along with the citizens of these communities who feel that it's okay. Let me solve my problem by getting me a weapon. Or the police officer, I can shoot at any damn body whenever I get ready because the system going to back me up. And the mass murders. Oh, I ain't feeling right. You know, I'm feeling some sort of way. Goodness and gracious, exit stage left. I'm feeling some sort of way. So let me go to FedEx, shoot up people. Goodness gracious, then shoot myself. You see the insanity of it all? A bloodthirsty land with bloodthirsty people, with fools as leaders, is not a good combination. That being said, let me bring my brother and friend on from New York City, Cartrell. This is family night, and this is a real talk for real people. Bless you, Cartrell, and your family. Shalom. Your mic is hot.
Thank you for that. All praise to the Holy One of Israel, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. Shalom, family. May the Most High bless you. Yam Sufari. May the Most High bless you and your family.
Thank you very much, my brother and friend.
Yeah, you spoke about this place being a bloodthirsty land. They've actually had 147 mass shootings this year alone. What month were you in?
This is January, February, March, April.
4 months in, 147 shootings. And you know that this is an American play. This don't happen worldwide like it does here.
That's an American thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it happens because the blood that has been shed in this land hasn't really been answered. And like you said, it's an unjust system. And when people die unjustly, they don't really get justice.
Right.
So here we find ourselves, like you said, we grew up, people had BB guns and pea shooters. Now
right.
They got AK-47s and automatic handguns. And it's like, wow. Cowboys and Indians, for real. We used to watch that on TV, Cowboys and Indians, Cops and Robbers. But, I mean, it's beyond, you know, incredible. 147 mass shootings. That's crazy.
It's crazy, Cartrell. And you know, the insanity of all these so-called leaders, you know, they have
put that in their hands.
Right.
I said, our prayers and our thoughts go out to the families that have been affected. Okay.
To the next one. People are tired of their prayers and their thoughts, Contrail.
Well, at least Joe Biden, he puts the American flag down at half mast anytime there's a mass shooting. Donald Trump didn't care.
Well, Joe Biden better keep it down then, Contrail. Don't even raise it.
I think so. On a daily basis. 147 mass shootings. Keep that flag at half mast. Matter of fact, take it down.
Contrail, he need to put a black stripe across it too and keep it down. Half mast. Shoot me though. You know, with a police officer or somebody, they'll put a black mark across their badge or whatever.
Yeah.
Right. So they need to put a black patch across that flag and keep it half mast, okay?
Or the other option is keep it at half mast until the shooting stops.
Exactly. Till they get control. Because these leaders, and I saw that old Jim Jordan talking to Dr. Fauci, and he was just hollering, man, it couldn't have been me, Dr. Fauci. Should have been Jim Jordan. I like, what the man, come on, what the man? Hold on, wait, Johnson, hold on. Hold on, Representative. You need to lower that tone in your voice when you talk to me, okay? If you're going to have a conversation with me, say whatever you want to say, however you want to say it, but you need to lower that tone in your voice when you talk to me. Because otherwise, you know what Dr. Fauci finna do? Dr. Fauci finna exit stage left. Goodness and gracious, okay? All this whole hollering at me about I'm trying to help somebody. That's all I'm trying to do. Although I don't agree with the vaccine, but nevertheless, there's a way to talk to somebody. We've learned in our studies, Contrail, by virtue of you in the Book of Proverbs, a soft answer turns away wrath. But that Jim Jordan, that Representative Jim Jordan, man, he a hot mess. But I'm going to tell you, Contrail, I failed to notate something while we were talking. And I wanted to share this with the listeners about that vaccine. And here's what lying to yourself will get you. A Tennessee woman who was hospitalized for blood clots after receiving the Johnson & Johnson COVID-19 vaccine is speaking out about her ordeal. The unidentified patient spoke with several media outlets from the Nashville hospital bed where she has been unable to walk for a week due to swollen legs and blurred vision. The doctor said the vaccine is to blame for her extreme side effects, but the anonymous patient said she doesn't regret anything. Contrail, it's a bad thing to lie to oneself. You've already said that. And this is a classic example of lying to oneself. She says she doesn't regret anything. All right, Contrail.
Misery loves company, don't it?
Don't expect me to join you.
And as far as Dr. Fauci and Jim Jordan is concerned, we know Jim Jordan's MO. That's how he rolls. All Dr. Fauci had to do was pull out a needle and say, come here, get your vaccine, boy.
He just shot off that seat.
All Dr. Fauci had to do was pull out a needle. Pull that needle out.
Mm-hmm. Hey, did you?
Most of it towards Jim Jordan. He would have shut up.
But Maxine Waters, that sister got me. She said, I liked her response. Hey, you need to listen to the champ and shut your mouth.
Yeah, she told him shut up, straight like your mama would.
Shut your mouth. She got tired of rapping. Shut your mouth. That sister got me, man. Tickle
me. Yeah, she don't play.
No, she don't play. That was funny, Contrail. You shut your mouth. Maxine Waters ain't nothing to play with.
And I meant to say yesterday about King David when he faced Goliath.
He told Goliath
that he coming in the name of Yah.
Right.
Like, Goliath was cursing Israel in the name of his gods.
So
King David came forth with the name of Yah, and that's how he got the victory.
Exactly. So you talking about us, and you cussing Israel, and you cussing Yah? Well, I come in the name of Yah, and you're the crooked God, too. We should man up, square up, Goliath, square up. I'm tired of you out here cussing us out, cussing y'all out. It's going down.
So we always admire King David. We talk about him constantly. But the key to his success, you know, is that he always put the Most High first, and he always, you know, came in the name of Yah, and he never veered from that.
And certainly we should, Cartrell, and certainly we should.
Uh-huh.
Cartrell, if you're done with your commentaries, and if you're not, we'll proceed right on in our studies, these essential studies, essential, keyword. Chapter 19 of 1 Samuel. This interaction about negative and non-constructive relationship continues. King Saul urges his son Jonathan. Hold on, let's go back. May the Most High God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob bless us by the study of his word and, most importantly, the application of his word. Hallelujah. King Saul urged his son Jonathan and all his couriers to kill Dawood. I mean, he wanted everybody else to get put dirt on them for killing Dawood. But King Saul Jonathan was very fond of Dawood. And Jonathan told Dawood, "My father is bent on killing you. Be on guard tomorrow morning. Get a secret place and remain in hiding. I will go out and stand next to my father in the field where you will be hiding, and I will speak to my father about you. Now, if I learn anything, I will tell you." So Jonathan spoke well of Dawood to his father, King Saul, and he said to him, Not your majesty wrong his servant Dawood, for he has not wronged you, father. Indeed, all his actions have been very much to your advantage. He's looking out for your best interest, dad. He took his life in his hand and killed the Philistines. And Yah wrought a great victory for all of Israel because of it. You saw it and rejoiced. Why then should you incur the guilt of the shedding of the blood of an innocent man? Dawood is innocent. Killing Dawood without cause. You can't kill a man without cause, father. King Dawood heeded Jonathan's plea. And the king swore, which was shaky, because, you know, his word is not his bond. We all have learned that. As Yah lives, he should not be put to death momentarily. Jonathan called Dawood, and Jonathan told him all this, the conversation between his father and him. Then Jonathan brought Dawood to King Saul, and he served him as before. Things went back to usual. Fighting broke out again. Dawood went out and fought the Philistines. He inflicted a great defeat upon them, and they fled before him. Then here we go again, back down memory lane. Then an evil spirit of Yah came upon King Saul while he was sitting in his house with his spear in his hand. And Dawood was playing, he was hitting the guitar at that time and playing the lyre. King Saul tried to pin Dawood to the wall with the spear. There we go again, Katja. Back down.
Broke his own word, didn't he?
Yeah. You can't trust wicked folk, Katja. I don't care how much you lack them. You know, how much they say they lack you. You can't trust wicked people, Katja. That ought to tell you something. And King
Saul. So this is the second time that King David could have killed him because he missed.
There he missed. But he eluded King Saul so that he drove the spear into the wall. Dawood fled again and got away. That night, King Saul sent messages to Dawood's home to keep watch on him. He sent spies to keep watch on him. Kill him in the morning. But Dawood's wife, Saul's daughter, Malchah, told him, "Unless you run for your life tonight, honey, daddy gonna kill you. You gonna be killed tomorrow." Malchah let Dawood down from the window, and he escaped and fled. Malchah then took the household idol. We had it like that. Now, here Dawood is a man of Yah, but his wife got an idol in the house. Took the household idol, laid it on the bed, and covered it. It must have been a pretty huge idol, okay? And covered it with a cloth. And at his head, she put a net of goat's hair. And that goat's hair looked like our hair, you know, if you know what a goat hair and that region hair looked like. King Saul sent messages to seize Dawood. But she said, he's sick, Daddy. He can't get up. King Saul, however, sent back messages to see Dawood for themselves. Bring him up to me in the bed, he ordered. Sit him up. Sit him up in the bed. So we may put him to death in his bed. When the messengers came, they found the household idol instead of King Dawood in the bed with a net of goat's hair at his head to appear to be a King Dawood at the time, not king yet. King Saul said to Michal, why did you play that trick on me and let my enemy get away safely? Because Michal answered King Saul and said, help. He said to me, Daddy, help me to get away. I'll kill you, heifer. Wife or not. No, she had to play the role. Daddy, he said to me, if you don't help me, heifer, you my wife. I'll kill you. I'll kill you dead. So Dawood made good his escape, and he came to Samuel at Ramah and told him all that King Saul had done to him. He and Samuel went and stayed at Nahath. King Saul was told that Dawood was at Nahath and Ramoth, and King Saul sent messengers to seize him there. They saw a band of prophets speaking in ecstasy, prophesizing, with Samuel standing by as their leader. And the Spirit of Yah came upon King Saul's messengers, and they too began to speak and prophesizing in ecstasy. When King Saul was told about this, he sent other messengers, but they too spoke in prophecy. King Saul sent a third group of messengers. They also spoke in prophecies. He himself went to Ramah. And when he came to the great cistern at Sychar, he asked, where are Samuel and Dawood? And they told that they were at Nahath and Ramah. He was on his way there to Nahath and Ramah when the Spirit of Yah came upon him too. You can't stop Yah. And he walked on speaking in ecstasy, prophesying until he reached Nahath and Ramah. Then he too stripped off his clothes, and he too spoke in prophecy before Samuel. And he lay naked all day and all night. That is why people say, is Saul too among the prophets? Have he became a seer? Yeah, he saw some things that he didn't want to see, but he couldn't stop Yah. He couldn't stop Yah. He sent three times, and he said, now, I can't send nobody to do this job. I got to do this job on my own. But see, here's the deal about that. You can send any amount of messengers you want coming against Yah. You can go yourself, but it ain't going to mount to a hill of beans. You can't go up against Yah. Your arms are too short to fight with Yah. You're going to get caught up in a trick bag, okay? Cottrell, my dear brother and friend, what say you?
So King Saul took all of his clothes off and was butt naked prophesying.
Butt naked. All day and all night.
It shows the power of the Most High that you don't really have to fear your enemies when you got the Most High to protect you, right?
Bingo.
So he sent three emissaries to get King David to kill him, bring him back and kill him. But it wasn't in their power to do because King David was loved by Yah. So you got to be loved by Yah to get that kind of protection.
Exactly. Better make sure you loved by Yah and not by that evil spirit.
Yeah. And King Saul had that same opportunity, but he chose not to listen to the Most High. Most High loved King Saul too, but he was a wicked man in his heart.
Well, he chose not to be obedient and compliant, Katra. He chose to lean to his own understanding, do what he wanted to do, how he wanted to do it, and when he wanted to do it, and make excuses for it. Okay.
Nobody forced him either, did he?
No. Mm-mm. No. It wasn't by force.
The people made me do it. But no. You the king.
Right. It wasn't by force, Cartier. It was by choice.
Yeah, so he turns out to be a liar. because he broke many oaths. And fortunately, you know, that's not a good thing. When you make an oath, at least Jephthah was man enough to live up to his oath that he made, even though it was foolish. And everybody that we've previously read about lived up to their oath. But this first thing we got, King Saul, he'll make an oath and break it the next day.
He was a chronic liar.
Yeah, unfortunately.
He was a chronic liar, unfortunately. He was a nice guy, started off pretty nice. Humble fellow, started off humble. But I'm going to tell you, Katria, I once heard, and it is true, it takes a lot of notes to make a musical. One note is not going to make a musical, okay? So, and that coincides relative to Yah. It takes a whole lot of doing right to do good. Not just one note going to cut the mustard, okay?
And it shows a sickness that we have as a people. Why are we so envious of each other?
You know, Cartrell, you know, I'm not like that. And so it's hard for me to, and I know it's hard for you to, make that association. I've never felt that way. Even when I was a little boy in high school and whatnot, when I played football on a team and whatnot, it was a team. And basically the concept being with Yah, it's a team. It's a team effort. And so I never failed because the quarterback had his position, and I was a lineman on offense and defense, that it took anything away from me. I just did my job. I did my job as an offensive guard. I did my job as a defensive linebacker. And so I was only concerned about focusing on doing my job. And I'm pretty sure you felt the same way when you were in martial arts. You weren't envious somebody in martial arts being 4 or 5 years ahead of you. You were focused on becoming the best martial artist that you wanted to be, and not say, well, I want to be like him. So that's why I said, Cartrell, it's hard for me to ascertain why some of us are like that. I mean, it's a team effort.
It just shows we've had that disease since ancient times. King Saul had no rhyme, no reason to envy or hate King David. He was doing the do for King Saul. Saul got his props. How many people could slay 1,000 Philistines? Okay, so they attribute 1,000 to you or 10,000 to him, but you a king that slays 1,000. That's incredible. That's incredible alone.
And that's not any shortcoming, Katria. 1,000 men? That's not shortcoming.
The king shouldn't have to do all the work in the battlefield. Let the men do it, right?
Exactly. And like
you still get glory for the victory because you're the commander and chief because you're the king. So anything your men do, the credit goes to you anyway. So
that's what I'm saying. Strong body. Well, see, that's what I'm saying, Cartrell. It's a team effort. Like you said, you made an important statement right there. David probably didn't per se kill 10,000 Philistines by his own hand, but as you said, because he was a commander, it was according to him. Just like King Saul probably didn't kill 1,000 Philistines, but because under his command, 1,000 Philistines were killed. So it was according to him. And so, as you said, you know, it's a team effort. However you look at it, it's got to be a team effort, one for all and all for one. And if we try to get to that point and exercise that point, we'll be a whole lot better off than this Western concept of individualism, individual attainment. It's all about me. I'm something special. Forget all about y'all. I got mine. Y'all get yours. That's not how we should be. And as you said, we have been unfortunately, much like this Western concept. Even in our Eastern culture, even before we got here,
Yeah, because he started as a humble man. And the Most High made him king. He got the power. But what did he do with his power? He didn't try to, you know, help the people. It was all about him.
All about him, Cartrell. All about him.
Unfortunately, our egos, self-interest, that's a problem.
Runs amok.
You think about yourself. We can't win. If you're trying to shoot the ball all the time and you're missing and we're losing and you're still trying to shoot. you're not letting nobody else shoot.
Exactly.
That's being selfish. And when you win, you're going to blame everybody else because they didn't get you the ball. No, you shot the ball the whole game.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, some people don't get humility, Kytrell.
Yeah.
Some people just don't get it. You know, I have to be scrolling inadvertently. I wasn't looking for anything. And I looked at this woman's page. She was a Hebrew Israelite. And I looked at her page and I saw the table and her personal picture. I saw these brothers sitting around a table with this garb on that they considered Hebrew Israelite garb. And I saw one brother standing in the front with a shield sheathed with some call, I don't know what that was, and what he may call a Israelite God, Joab, Abner God, I don't know what it was. But it left me totally confused, and it left me saying some of us just don't get it, Kytrell. And some of us just don't get it. And just, unfortunately, because you know why, Kytrell? Failure to study. Failure to study, failure to comply and be obedient. And it just didn't start here. It started way before we got here. And even with this awakening, they didn't get, some of us didn't get right back to our same old foolishness, Kytrell, thinking that we can secure our liberties and secure our liberties by virtue of our own arms. Some of us didn't get it there, and some of us don't get it here. It's just the way it is.
Every captivity that our nation was under, it was only the Most High that delivered us out of it.
Hallelujah. Failure to study, Kytrell.
Uh-huh.
Failure to comply. Failure to be obedient. Thinking that sacrifices is going to cut the mustard. It never has, and it never will. All right, Kytrell, if you're done with your commentary, I'm certainly done with mine.
Yes, sir.
And we'll move right along. Thank you, brother. Chapter 20 of 1 Samuel. Dawood fled from Nahoth in Ramoth. He came to Jonathan and said, "What have I done? What is my crime and my guilt against your father, that he seeks my life?" He replied, "Heaven forbid. You should not die. My father does not do anything great or small without disclosing it to me. He don't make a move without telling me. Why should my father conceal this matter from me, Dawood? It cannot be. I would have known about it." David, Dawood swore further, "Your father knows well that you're fond of me and has decided, Jonathan, must not learn of this or he will be grieved. So your daddy have kept this stuff from you, Jonathan." Yeah, he tell you something, but he don't tell you everything. He know you like me as a friend. I'm your friend and whatnot. So he kept this from you, Jonathan, so you won't be upset about it. But as the Elohim lives and as you live, there's only a step between me and death. Jonathan said to Dawood, "Whatever you want, I will do for you." Dawood said to Jonathan, "Tomorrow is the new moon, and I have to sit with the king at the meal. Instead, let me go, and I will hide in the countryside until the third evening. If your father notes my absence, and you said, Dawood asked my permission to run down to his hometown, Bethlehem, for the whole family has his annual sacrifice there. He wanna hang out at the family reunion. If he says, good, your servant is safe. If his anger flares up, know that he is resolved to do to me harm, Jonathan. Deal faithfully with your servant, since you have taken your servant into a covenant. Man, you got a covenant. Into a covenant of Yah with me. Man, you got a pact now. Now, under the pact, Jonathan, and if I am guilty, kill me yourself. But don't make me go back to your father. Jonathan replied, don't talk like that. If I learned that my father has resolved to kill you, I would surely tell you about it. Dawood said to Jonathan, who will tell me if your father answers you harshly? Jonathan said to Dawood, let me go into the open. And they both went out into the open. Let me show you something. And Jonathan said to Dawood, for Yah the Elohim, by Yah the Elohim of Israel, I will sound. I'm gonna get to the bottom. I'm gonna sound out my father. I'm gonna get to the bottom of this. At my father at this time tomorrow, or on the third day. Give me this time tomorrow, at least to the third day. And if his response is favorable for Dawood, for you, I will send a message to you at once and disclose it to you. But if my father intends to do you harm, may Yah do thus to Jonathan and more. If I do not disclose it to you and send you off to escape, may Yah do whatever he want to do to me if I don't let you know what's up. May Yah be with you as he used to be with my father. Even Jonathan realized that Yah wasn't with his daddy anymore. Nor shall you fail to show me Yah's faithfulness while I am alive. Nor when I'm dead, Dawood, be right by me, be right by this friendship, whether I'm alive or dead. Shall you ever discontinue your faithfulness to my house, which you will find out in further studies, King, who would become King Dawood, for the man of his word, even though Jonathan was not here. He was faithful to his house. You will find out this out. Dawood was a man of his word. Whether Jonathan was alive or whether Jonathan was dead, he was still a friend of Jonathan's house. And you will find out that Dawood was a man of his word. Not even after Yah has wiped out every one of David's enemies from the face, Dawood's enemies from the face of the earth. Thus has Jonathan covenant with the house of David. Such we have a contract, your house and my house. And may Yah requite the enemies of Dawood. May Yah knock your enemies out. Jonathan, out of love for Dawood, adjured him again, for he loved him as himself. Jonathan said to him, tomorrow will be the new moon. You will be missed when your seat remains vacant. So the day after tomorrow, go down all the way to the place where you hid the other time. Stay close to Ezel stone. Now I will shoot three arrows to one side of it as though I was shooting at a mark. I'm just faking the funk. And I will order the boy to go and find the arrows. Now, listen up. If I call to the boy, hey, the arrows are on this side of you. Be assured and come from you, for you are safe, and there is no danger as y'all lives. But if instead I call to the lad, hey, the arrows are beyond you, then leave, for Yah has sent you away as the promise we made to each other. May Yah be witness between you and me. They didn't have to go to court. They didn't have to sign a contract. Only thing they needed was their word. Their word was their bond, their covenant. And so they had to go to court to get a contract signed. They had to get a notarized. And when we said something to each other, we don't have to go to court. We don't have to get we shouldn't have to go to court. We shouldn't have to get it notarized. And they did. And Dawood kept his word. Dawood hid in the field. The new moon came. And the king sat down to partake of the meal. When the king took his usual place on the seat by the wall, his back to the wall. That's just like a gangster move. Gangsters always got their backs to the wall. Jonathan rose, and Abner sat down at Saul's side. But Dawood's place remained vacant. That day, however, King Saul said nothing. It's accidental, he thought. Daddy ain't said nothing. He done overlooked thou wilt not be in presence, so it's accidental. He must be unclean, and he thought, King Dawood thinking, now this is not Jonathan, this is King Saul thinking. King Saul thinking to himself, the day however, Saul said nothing. In his mind, he said, it's accidental that Dawood hadn't showed up. He thought he must be unclean and not yet clean. But on the day after the new moon, the second day, Dawood's place was vacant again. So King Saul said to his son Jonathan, why didn't the son of Jesse come to the meal yesterday or today? Jonathan answered King Saul, Dawood begged leave of me to go to Bethlehem. He said, please let me go, for we're going to have a family feast, a family reunion in our town. And my brother has summoned me to it. Do me a favor. Let me slip away to see my kinfolk. That is why he has not come to the king's table. Now, King Saul flew into a rage against Jonathan. You son of a perverse, rebellious woman, he shouted. I know that you side with the son of Jesse to your shame and to the shame of your mother's nakedness. For as long as the son of Jesse lives on earth, neither you nor your kingship will be secure. Don't you know long as that boy living? Long as that young man living? That your kingship would not be secure, although Yah had taken it away from me. Now then, have him brought to me, for he's marked for death. As you see, King Saul was not a man of his word. He had promised Jonathan, no, I'm not going to put my hand on him. Then he changed his mind, I'm going to kill it. But Jonathan spoke up and said to his father, why should he be put to death? What has he done to you? At that, King Saul threw his spear at him, at his own son, to strike him down. And Jonathan finally realized that his father was determined to do away with Dawood. Jonathan rose from the table in a rage. He was hot. He ate no food on the second day of the new moon because he was grieved about Dawood. He was upset because his father had humiliated him. Not only was he upset about Dawood, his father had humiliated him. In the morning, Jonathan went out into the open for the meeting with Dawood, accompanied by a young boy, as they had agreed upon. He said to the boy, run ahead and find the arrows that I shoot. As the boy ran, he shot the arrows past him. When the boy came to the place where the arrows shot by Jonathan had fallen, Jonathan called out to the boy, hey, the arrows are upon you. Go, they're gone on. They ain't right there. And Jonathan called after the boy, quick, hurry up. Don't stop. So Jonathan's boy gathered the arrows and came back to his master. The boy suspected nothing. Only Jonathan and Dawood knew the arrangement. Jonathan handed the gear to the boy and told him, take these back to the town. When the boy got there, Dawood emerged from the concealment at Nigrat. He flung himself down on the ground, humbled himself, and bowed low three times. They kissed each other and wept together. Jonathan, Dawood wept the longer. Jonathan said to Dawood, go in peace, for we too have sworn to each other in the name of Yah. May Yah be a witness between you and me, between your offspring and mine forever. And I'm going to stop right there. I'm going to tell you this. And you will find out further along in our studies that Dawood was a man of his word. He honored his contract with Jonathan while Jonathan was alive. He honored his contract with Jonathan when Jonathan expired. And think of this. Think of this. Yah says Dawood was a man after his own heart. That is the highest compliment, one of the highest compliments that Yah can give to a man. And would not that say you should subscribe to be like King Dawood, a man after Yah's own heart, meaning Not only is he compliant and obedient and humble, he keeps his word. She keeps her word. Unfortunately, because of a lack of study, some of us don't seem to grasp that. Some of us, unfortunately, seem to think I can simply show up, show out, and showboat. And that's about the gist of it. I don't have to keep my word. I don't have to be humble. I don't have to be compliant. I don't have to be obedient. I'm Hebrew Israelite. I'm something special, just like King Saul. Simply saying one is a Hebrew Israelite, that in itself would not suffice. It's got to be much more than that. It's got to be fundamentals exercised in that relationship with Yah. In order for Yah to say, that man or woman is a person after my own thinking. Cottrell, what say you, my brother and friend?
There's so much in that chapter that we should glean in regards to our history. First of all, the new moon and the surface of the new moon. They observe the new moon for how many days?
3 days.
And we here in America, how often do we do it?
I don't know. I don't know, to be honest. I don't know what they do, Katria. I don't know what they do about that. You know what I mean?
We talk about the Shabbat and the holy days, and we argue and fuss and fight about that. But we see on a regular basis, they observe the new moon. And it was unusual for King David not to be there for the new moon feast. He's supposed to be at the king's table for those 3 days.
Right.
But secondly, you talk about King David keeping his word.
Right.
Prince Jonathan, Crown Prince Jonathan.
Right.
Not like his father. So much unlike his father. Crown Prince Jonathan kept his word to King David because he could have easily sided with his father. This dude got to get killed because otherwise I won't be king. I'm a Benjamite. You know, most of the nation don't really respect, you know, the tribe of Benjamin. They almost cut us off and killed us. Mm-hmm. Now it's our time. The Most High put us in charge, and he could have had that attitude, right?
But he could have.
David was just like Prince Jonathan. They had kindred spirit. They were more like brothers than just companions. That's why he kissed them, like when Esau kissed Jacob. That's what a brother does.
Right.
In Eastern custom. So they knew they wasn't going to see each other again, probably ever in life.
Right.
Because now that his father was angry with King David, King David had to go on a run. Now he's a fugitive. He's like Moses now, running from Pharaoh.
Right.
So you notice that the leaders of the nation go through hard times before they become leaders of the nation. Moses had to run because he's a fugitive. He had to go and leave and live in a land of Midian. And then we see that King David, he's a champion for the nation, but he's also an enemy of the state because the king wants to kill him. So he has to leave the nation. He has to run.
But they're tried and tempered. They're tested and see whether or not they will submit to Yah, be compliant, obedient, and be humble to Yah. and that they don't lean to their own understanding, because here's what we find out about King David. When King Dawood did anything, when he was doing the right thing, not far as Bathsheba was concerned and whatever other mistakes he made, when King Dawood was in tune to Yah, he would always seek Yah first and foremost. And whatever decision-making that was needed, important decision, and minor decisions, unlike some of us. Some of us who just awakened to this great awakening thinks all of a sudden that we can lean to our own understanding just because we're Hebrew Israelites. Not like King Dawood. Not like young man Dawood at the time before he became king. And like I made the point, and I think it should be taken, for Yah to say Dawood is a man after my own thinking is a great tribute to Dawood. And it should be a great tribute to us that we should try to subscribe to be humble like King Dawood, keeping our word like King Dawood, being compliant and obedient to Yah like King Dawood, and being subjected to the rules, regulations, procedures in accordance to Yah, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaqub.
Yeah, you made a little slip there.
What I do? Let me correct
it. It's not our thinking. It's our heart. And that's where you make the big mistake, because what we think we know, and we lean on that because that's where our understanding comes from, because we think we know, therefore we think we understand. He wasn't leaning on his thinking. He was leaning on his heart.
Right.
The heart is different from the mind.
Mm-hmm.
So he had a heart. He didn't say King David had a mind. He said he had a heart. So we emphasize the mind, wherefore Yah emphasized the heart. Where's your heart at? And you can tell a man by his heart, right? Especially in sport.
Right.
Right? So you see a brother like Allen Iverson, he's like, can't be what, like 5'9"? And he's going against guys that 6'5", 7' foot. And he dominates at his height. And they say, why is he able to do that? It's because of his heart.
Mm-hmm.
He has the heart of a champion or a lion. And King David had that type of a heart. He was fearless in his heart. And his emotion was toward, and his love was toward the Most High. He had that love relationship. It wasn't a mental thing, how much he knew.
Right.
King
right.
Solomon had that. But King David, what y'all loved about him was that his heart was in tune with the Most High. And most of our hearts are not in tune with the Most High. We put the Most High on a back burner. We only call it the Most High when we're in desperate straits. That's the only time we think about Yah. But his relationship was a daily thing. And that's why y'all loved him, because he loved Yah back. And it had nothing to do with his mind. It had something to do with his heart.
Wait, what you're saying, basically, boiling it down to the common denominator, what you're basically saying, the core element of him was that he loved Yah. He was compliant and obedient. He was humble to Yah. But he wasn't like his thinker was, his mind was, his knowledge was.
Right.
His knowledge was a different entity. It wasn't what he knew. It was what the core element of him was. The core element of him was.
Right. And you can see the core element in contrast to King Saul. King Saul. He's going by what he's thinking, what he's feeling. His heart wasn't right with Yah.
Right.
So he's leaning on his thoughts.
Right.
Because all he could think about is, all he could think about is that King David is going to be the next king if he don't do something about it. And his thoughts are off. His heart is in the wrong place.
Well, you know, I think Yah exposed it to him. You remember going back in our studies, when he says, make that statement, when the troops had taken what was prescribed, and he said, you may be small in your own eyes, but when you work for me, you do what I tell you to do, how I tell you to do it, when I tell you to do it, okay? So I think Yah exposed the character flaw in King Saul. When he said, you may be small in your own eyes, you may have your own shortcomings, you may feel less than, but when I tell you to do, you better man up, okay?
And think about that. Uh-huh. That's all he had to do.
Right.
But he didn't do what Yah told him to do. He started thinking and making his own decisions.
Right. Based on his feelings about himself.
People around him were saying. Like
thinking
he said,
about
the people. The people told me to bring these offerings back. That's why he brought the king and the goats and the sheep and everything else. The best
king I got. Mm-hmm.
And he made an excuse. We're going to sacrifice it to you, Yah. Yah didn't tell you to bring it back and sacrifice to me. But he tried to blame the people, so he made the decision to bring it back. It wasn't the people that made the decision to bring it back.
Right, by his own shortcomings. Right, by his own shortcomings.
Right.
You made that decision based on your own shortcomings, what you really thought about yourself. You feel yourself less than in your own eyes.
You could tell, because they got the victory. He wanted to set a monument up to himself.
He won't make himself the big shot. I'm the big shot. I feel good now. I done made me a monument, and I didn't bought King Agat back. I done bought all these sheep and calves back, in spite of the fact y'all said, don't bring anything back. You kill everybody, and everything. Don't bring nothing. I don't want none of that. But nevertheless, your knowledge failed you, because the core element of you should be humbleness, obedience, compliance. Humbleness, obedience, compliance.
So imagine if Joshua was like King Saul, because there was somebody in his troop that brought something back that wasn't supposed to. He lost his whole family, right?
Well, he took care of that.
Imagine if it was Joshua.
Yeah, Joshua wasn't having none of that, because that's why he made the statement. You know, I don't know what y'all going to do. I hope y'all do the right thing. But for me and my household, We're going to follow Yah. So there was a
That's
court.
That's what King Saul should have been saying. That should have been
right.
King Saul's quote.
Right. Should have been.
But,
and it should be our quote today, Kadria.
Oh,
I don't care
what
somebody else doing. I don't care. I hope y'all are doing the right thing. But I don't care about what no other Hebrew Israelite is doing. But I tell you this for a certainty. For me and my household, we're going to be compliant. We're going to be obedient. And we're going to be humble to Yah. We're going to do whatever he said, how he said, and when he said, do it. If Yah says jump, we're going to say hi. Unfortunately, in some of our cases, Katria, as in our beginning and our ending, some of our brothers and sisters are still the same way. They want to do whatever they want to do, when they want to do it, how they want to do it, and think that's going to suffice. It didn't work then, and it won't work now. All right. Katria.
You're saying that goes how you start something, it's how you finish.
Amen, brother.
And hopefully we get that miraculous intervention, because the way we started out is not too good. And we definitely need Yah's intervention because we're repeating the same cycles.
Well, Cartrell, you ever heard of that fella called Rip Van Winkle? Some of us are Rip Van Winkle Hebrew Israelites, meaning that during this transition time in our deep sleep, some of us didn't learn anything. And we reawoken right back to the same nonsense, thinking that by my military might alone, I'm going to do it. By my knowledge alone, I'm going to do it. But not waking up to the mindset of King Dawood. Not waking up to the mindset of Moses. Not waking up to the mindset of Yahshua, Deborah, Ruth, Esther, Mordecai, and so on and so forth. Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Unfortunately, some of us woken up to the same foolishness that we went to sleep on. Truth be told, Cartrell. Truth be told. Go ahead, my brother.
And all the people that you mentioned probably had greater challenges individually than we do individually today.
You know, you said something back along in our studies, Cartrell. And it always stuck in my mind about Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And you said, you said, what were the other Hebrew Israelites doing? I said, well, they didn't make any recording of them doing anything.
They were surviving just like we were.
Yeah,
we are
exactly.
Now. They were just surviving, basically.
Right.
Hanging
right.
in there.
Hanging in there. Doing the best they could. With what they had, someone was doing a whole lot of foolishness. Because, you know, Yah didn't make mention of them. So there was nothing for Yah to note about them that was notable. And so that always stuck in my mind. And so sometimes when I'd be feeling a little depressed, a little anxiety in regards to our brothers and sisters in this modern day time, I always go back to what you said in our previous study. Okay. Yom Suf, when Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and the Most High noted them and their exploits as far as their humbleness, obedience, and compliance to him. But he made no notations of our brothers and sisters in that time in regards to Mordecai and Queen Esther. It made no particular notification as far as what others were doing other than Mordecai and Queen Esther looking out for their best interests, and so on and so forth. Gideon, Deborah, and so on and so forth. I'm trying to make a point here, brothers and sisters. Hey, here's the deal. You better rely on your relationship with Yah and stop trying to monitor or take a temperature of your relationship with Yah based upon what somebody else is doing. Okay? You need to keep in check and be compliant and obedient to Yah and be humble to Yah in spite of what anybody else is doing. See, everybody else is on that just like we were. And every man or woman was doing what they wanted to do, not doing what Yah told them to do. And so you need to keep your temperature check, your monitor check, based on Yah. And how do you do that? I got the answer for you. You've got it right in your hand. You've got the temperature check. You've got the monitor check. And in spite of what anybody else is doing in this modern day time, you have the temperature check, you have the monitor check, you have the solution, you have the antidote. It's right in your hand, the words of Yah. Long as you're in compliance with that, long as you are obedient to that, long as you are humble to that, you're going to check out real good. But if you're taking your temperature check, your monitor check, based upon what Yom Suf said, based upon what Cartrell said, based upon what your mama said, your daddy said, your brother said, your sister said, or anybody else says, well, that's a false checking. It didn't work for our brothers and sisters then, and it certainly won't work for our brothers and sisters now. You better believe it. Go ahead, Cartrell.
And while you're checking your relationship with him, he's checking his relationship with us.
Hallelujah.
It worked both ways. So you may be thinking that you're right in your own eyes, but your eyes looking at what you're doing and checking
exactly
his relationship with you. Will he stand up for you like he stood up for King David? Because King, you got the king coming after you to kill you with his men and his army, and you just one man, and he know where you at. Yet when you get there, Yah breaks him down. You start prophesying. Mm-hmm. Matter of fact, he makes you take all your clothes off, and now you butt naked.
What's that, Katria? He made him take the whole clothes, made him get butt naked.
Nobody told King Saul to take his clothes off. Nobody. Somebody said, it's getting hot in here. King Saul, take all your clothes.
Y'all made King Saul take his all his clothes off, get butt naked, man.
It was too hot for him. Take all his clothes.
Y'all just better make sure y'all is with y'all and he can make some people take off their clothes, because if you got the wrong spirit with you, you may take off your clothes.
But that was how else could the Most High have humbled King Saul? That's
right.
Great humility, right? I mean,
right.
He didn't do it to himself. The Most High did it to him. You got caught up in the spirit and you took off all your clothes. You the king.
Right.
And he brought shame on himself.
Right. He bought it on himself. Like most of us, Cartrell, most of us Hebrew Israelites, we bring things upon ourselves. And you know why we bring them upon ourselves, Cartrell? First and foremost, we're not humble to Yah. We're not obedient to Yah. And we're not compliant with what Yah says.
And
that's what
Saul,
most of us, right.
Didn't take good counsel. The prophet was trying to tell him the right thing to do. His son was trying to tell him right,
all the time, Cartrell.
He didn't want to hear it.
And you know what? You know the thing about Samuel said, I ain't going to even see you no more. After this incident, I ain't going to even see you no more. I ain't going to even see you no more alive.
Think about it.
Right. You
he was so self-centered.
Right.
He was so self-centered, he put his son Jonathan's life on the line twice. First with the stupid oath that he made after Jonathan got the victory against the Philistine by himself with his armor bearer. And he tried to take credit for it. And now he's trying to straighten him out about, you know, the situation with King David. And you throw your javelin at him? You throw your spear at him?
Jonathan knew the law. Jonathan's daddy, you can't take a man's life without a cause. What if Dawood did for you? Everything Dawood did for you, everything he'd done, going to war and whatnot, it has been to your advantage. Why you want to take his life without? You shut up. You rebellious.
Shot on his mother and everything.
Yeah, and on your mother's nakedness. Man, that's low. When you talk about a man, mama, about her nakedness, man, that's a low blow.
And Jonathan, Crown Prince Jonathan, he's a man now. Like, don't talk about my mother like that, yo.
Yeah. Don't be talking under my mama clothes in front of these folks here. Come on now, Daddy. Stop it now. Don't be going under my mama clothes in front of all these folks here. You ain't right, Daddy. You know, and Jonathan was so hot. Yeah, he got up and left. Man, I don't want your food. I don't want to eat with you. You going to talk up under my mama clothes in front of all these folks out here. Come on now.
and you disrespecting the two most important men in your nation, your son and King David.
Exactly.
They was holding you down.
Right.
I'm sure he was afraid of both of them.
See, you think he was scared of Jonathan too?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, because he tried to stick.
Jonathan wasn't afraid of him.
Yeah, he tried to stick Jonathan. Tried to stick him.
And he didn't run in fear. He ran in anger.
Right. And he said, "I don't want your food. I don't want your food. You gonna talk about my mama? You wrong, Daddy. You wrong. You try to kill Dawood. Dawood ain't did none to you. By what cause are you trying to kill Dawood? What he did to you? You can't kill a man by that cause. You talking about under my mama's clothes in front of all these folks? We sitting around eating around like she ain't about nothing. No, I don't want your food. I'm out of here."
So how many people you think ate after that family blow up?
I think a lot of folks say,
time to leave.
Abner probably told the King, my stomach hurt a little bit. I got to go use the restroom. I got to move or something. I got to get them out of here. I think everybody, the couriers, I'm tired. My stomach hurt. I got to go. I don't think it made for good company after that. He's sitting up there fuming because he can't get at Dawood. He's fuming.
He might throw his javelin at you. Like when you're chewing.
You be scared to pick up a piece of chicken, man. This man ain't going to throw this spear at me. You know what I mean? He's sitting up at the dinner table with spears all behind him. So he's throwing.
With his back to the wall so nobody can come up behind him and
cut his neck. Man, that's a gangster move, bro. I'm telling you, that's a gangster move.
he wasn't all that.
Well, I'm going to tell you what, Katriel. Gangsters do that because they know they gangstering. And so they can't trust nobody because they're gangsters. They always keep their back to the wall. That told me something when they said King Saul was at his favorite spot with his back to the wall. He couldn't trust nobody because he was doing dirt.
So, nobody could trust him because he never kept his word.
That's what I'm saying. All right, Cottrell and fellow students. If Cottrell's done with his commentary, I certainly am. And we're looking for a new study. And another study session, the final study session, is in the book of Ecclesiastes, the first chapter. We've done with Proverbs, and we're going to Ecclesiastes, then the Song of Solomon. Then we're going to go right back to the Psalms, because this stuff should become redundant and repetitive to you, these studies, so they become second nature to you. So you need to know these things. So that's why we are redundant in our studies, because they need to become an innate part of your. You don't have to know book, chapter, and verse, but you need to know what Yah says. Okay? Go ahead, Katria.
Praise Yah. We thank you for the wisdom that you left behind, the instructions, the diagnosis, the antidote to get closer to him, like our King David, and many other great men of God and women of God that got close to him. Through their humility. Ecclesiastes is written by King Solomon.
Uh-huh.
And Ecclesiastes means preaching or the preacher. So he's basically talking off the top of his head. And
right.
he's trying to bring a perspective from people who just live everyday life. And
so, when you said, my apologies, brother, but when you said he's talking off the top of his head, would you say he's reflecting and being meditative of things?
Yeah.
Okay, gotcha. Okay.
So he's looking at things from the common man's perspective and looking at life. This is how he ascertains who's a fool, who's a wise man. And this is his experience before he really begins to write the book of Proverbs. He says, vanities, vanities, says the preacher, vanities of vanities, all is vanity. And we know modern day life, it ain't nothing about, everything is about vanity, right?
Exactly.
Everything is about vanity. How you look, how you dress, where you went to school, how much money you got. Everything is about vanity in the modern world we live in today. He says, what profit has a man from all his labor in which he toiled under the sun? And you know, when you run the rat race, you look back and you try to figure out, you know, what have I accomplished running this rat race? And most people got a few years left after they run a rat race, and then it's all over. casket drops. He says, one generation passes away and another generation comes, but the earth abides forever. So we know that the element of Yah is in this because we know that man cannot destroy the earth. Even with the modern technology, their nuclear bombs and nuclear weapons, the Most High intends for the earth to last forever. But the generations do come and go. Generations pass away and another generation comes. And the cycle continues because the generations are not connected with the Most High from the time of Adam till now. People are chasing vain things. Again, the Most High continues to allow the sun rises, allows the sun to rise and allows the sun to go down. And it hastens to its place where it arose. The wind goes out to the south and it turns to the north. The wind whirls about continually. It comes again on its circuit. All the rivers run into the sea, yet the sea is not full. So we're talking about the marvels of the Most High that we take for granted each and every day. We haven't figured out how he does it or how he created it, but it's a constant, the sun rising and going down and the winds that blow upon the earth. He said the sea is not full, even though all the rivers of the world run into the seas. How come the seas don't run over when they're being filled? To the place from which the rivers come. There, they return again. So another cycle. Everything is cyclical. All things are full of labor. Man cannot express it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. So we never get enough. We have to see more. We have to hear more. We have to know more. More, more, more. That which has been is what will be. That which is done is what will be done. So the cycle of life in creation until the Most High intervenes. So what we're seeing now is that cycle just going over and over and over until that day is appointed when things are going to change. And there's nothing new under the sun. There will be, because the Most High said he's going to create a new heaven and a new earth. Is there anything of which it may be said, see, this is new? And we always look for new things, especially in modern times.
Mm-hmm.
But archaeologists are finding that ancient people had greater technology than they previously thought.
Yeah.
Right? Like electricity. They found out there was light bulbs in the pyramid before Edison invented the light. Got these big light bulbs in the pyramids. And he said they couldn't did it with flame because the soot would have been on the ceiling. But they find no evidence of soot, meaning that they had the ability to light where they were. And they show one of the carvings where they have this big light bulb.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like King Solomon said, there's nothing that's really new.
Well, you see, Cartrell and fellow students, it's this. In relationship to what you just said, and you made a statement that's a vital statement. There's nothing new under the sun. Now, it may be new to you, and it may be new to me, but it's nothing new. See, man can't create anything. He can't create anything out of nothing. Only thing he can do is take what's here and create something, which other men and women before us has done the very same thing. He can't create carbon. He can't create gold. He can't create silver. He can't create mortar. He can't create electricity. But the only thing he or she can do is take something and recreate or refigure something. But they can't create something new that's out of something already here. So you understand what I'm saying, Cartrell?
Absolutely. There's only one creation.
Right.
Most I created only one time.
Exactly.
So rubber was here in Adam's time.
Exactly.
Aluminum was here in Adam's time.
Now you getting me.
Yeah. All that was here, gold, silver, platinum, copper, all that was here in Adam's time.
Right.
He just didn't use it, but it was here to be used.
And then again, Contra, as you said, there's indication there was light in the pyramid. Just because we weren't there at that time, that does not necessitate the fact that they was not using lighting, because we don't have the information and we didn't have the technology. But I can tell you one thing, they can't be a pyramids like that. I mean, if those folks were so backwards, even in the Aztec jungle in Mexico, those people had some skill that we ain't got today, and we so-called modern, okay? So don't be knocking what's going on back there, because ain't nothing new under the sun. Those folk had skills just like we got skills right now. Ain't nothing new under the sun. Y'all ain't lied, okay?
And you're absolutely right, because I work construction, and I know that modern-day construction cannot duplicate the pyramids or the monoliths that they find in South America and Central America and worldwide, wherever they are.
Exactly.
Ancient technology, they had the precision of cutting hard stones with laser-like precision. So that's another story for another day. But King Solomon is saying they had technology back then that you don't even know about now.
Exactly.
It says it has already been in ancient times before us. There is no remembrance of former things. Like we said, we don't remember the technology and engineering that they use, nor will there be any remembrance of things that are to come, but those who will come after. So when this epic and this time period is gone, they're going to be trying to figure out how they flew planes and the technology we use today, because it's going to be gone in the future. I, the preacher, was king over Israel in Jerusalem, and I set my heart to seek and search out by wisdom concerning all that is done under heaven. This burdensome task Elohim has given to the sons of men. So he put himself in a position not of king, but as a common man, by which they may be exercised. I've seen all the works that are done under the sun, and indeed, all is vanity, a grasping for the wind. What is crooked cannot be made straight, and what is lacking cannot be numbered. I commune with my heart, saying, look, I have attained greatness, and I have gained more wisdom than all who were before me in Jerusalem. My heart has understood great wisdom and knowledge, and I set my heart to know wisdom and to know madness and folly. I perceive that this also is grasping for the wind, for in much wisdom is much grief, and he who increases knowledge increases sorrow. Praise Yah. Hallelujah.
Yeah, just because you're getting all these diplomas on the wall from your esteemed colleges, that in itself alone will not suffice, okay? You can get 4 or 5 certificates put on your wall. That ain't going to give you peace of mind. That's just like grasping in the wind. But because the concept of life is not about ascertaining simply of knowledge for the sake of ascertaining knowledge. It's got to be something much more deeper and profound than that. It's got to find and tap into the core of life. And what is the core of life? What gives life? What takes life? What's put you in the shield? That's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaqub. So what King Solomon is getting at, you can gain all the wisdom and understanding you want to gain. That's all right, but the sorrow come along with that. You can get all the certificates they give you in these esteemed colleges, all you want. But that's grasping in the wind. That is not pure life. That is not the pure sense of joy. That's not the pure sense of happiness. That's not the pure sense of connection. It's compliance, obedience. It's humbleness to the source. And what is the source? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaqub. And that's why King Solomon is reminiscing on what he'd been through his life. The ups and downs and crazy, not only in his own personal life, but what he seen by virtue of being the king. He saw a whole lot of things that other people wasn't privy to. And not only in his own personal life, he says it. Not only in my own personal life, I've seen the acts of men and women. And I've studied them. I've studied my own life and the acts of men and women. I've tried to acquire all the knowledge in the world. But it didn't make me happy. I had all these women in the world. It didn't make me happy. I had all this gold in the world. It didn't make me happy. I was just grasping for straws. But when I finally got peace of mind through the course of my kingship, I got that peace of mind with being humble, obedient, and compliant, and being connected to Yah. That's why I got that peace of mind. And fellow students, that's where you're going to get your peace of mind. You won't get it from esteemed colleges and all the knowledge in the world, but you're going to get it from the source of life. And what is the source of life? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaqub. Katria, my dear friend, that was very informational. That was very profound. What is your comments on it, what you've just read and studied?
You see the synchronicity, because mm-hmm. that's what we were speaking about earlier.
Right.
How King David was connected to the Most High with his heart, not his mind. And King Saul was not connected with his heart, but he tried to use his mind. So now we hear King Solomon's perspective from a king's perspective, because he reasoned all of that. I'm a king. I've been up here as a king. And I realize
right.
it ain't about me being no king. It's really about our connection to the Creator. You know, after everything that I've been through and the common man goes through, because the king goes through misery, poor man goes through, everybody goes through misery in this life. But
right.
it's about being connected with the Most High to really understand what life is really all about. So,
amen.
It's just amazing the synchronicity, because I wasn't really expecting that, you know, to
right.
line up. Really, it did, but it lined up perfectly.
It does, Cottrell. It certainly does. And, you know, we say it, you know, we say it in previous studies, Cottrell. Most High works behind the scenes. We don't see how he works, but when it comes to fruition, as far as his work and his business is concerned, it all lines up. It all synchronized. You and I, we don't get together. We don't say, Cottrell, what are you studying on? Yumsu, what are you studying on? Let's make sure this lined up. We don't have to do that. As long as we are compliant and obedient and humble to Yah, we ain't got to worry about the details. Everything comes out the way it should come out. But when you're not in synchronization with Yah, your work doesn't just position. It won't line up. It would never line up. And just forcing knowledge upon something, that knowledge was not the completion with Yah. Simply having knowledge in itself is not the completion with Yah. And as Cottrell alluded to, by King David and King Saul, how knowledge and how a heart of a man or woman. Now, knowledge won't line up like King Saul, but the heart and mind of a woman that's humble to Yah will always line up to Yah, which is compliant, obedient, and humble. Always lined up. And that's why when these study sessions come about with Cottrell and I, they always seem to line up, because Yah is working behind the scenes. We ain't got to do all that work. We got to do our part. Cottrell and I do our part. Yah do the rest. We get out the way, just like we're about to do right now. But before we do this, this is family night. Oh, yes, it's family night, meaning that you have an opportunity to give praise and thanksgiving to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaakov. You can tell a personal tale about your experience with Yah. You can tell a personal observation about seeing Yah's experience in someone else's life. Or you can simply just give praise and thanks to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaakov. Or you can simply listen. It makes no difference. That being said, Cottrell, my dear brother and friend, it's ladies first. So Abiyah has some praise and thanksgiving to give to New York City. Abiyah, may the Most High bless you. So your mic is hot. Shalom.
Shalom, Sister Abiyah. May the Most High bless you.
Shalom, Brother Young, Sister Ari, Brother Cottrell. May the Most High bless both of y'all. Yes, I missed last week, so I had to get it in tonight, although I praise him every day. But, yes, I give all my praises to the Holy One of Israel, the God of my father, Abraham, Isaac, who I wanted to say I thank Yah so much for his mercy, his love, and his protection for all, for my, all my family's health, for the food he let me put on the table, and even enough to feed someone else if need be. And I truly know if it wasn't for him, I would be nothing, and I would have nothing. And I just pray, God, thank you. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, Abiyah. Hallelujah. I concur with that. Cottrell, you need to tell Abiyah, leave me alone, man.
Oh, wait a minute. Wait a minute.
Cottrell, you need to tell Abiyah, leave me alone, bro. I mean,
don't start that.
Yeah.
Don't you start
Cottrell,
that.
She said, Soup crazy. She said, yup, Soup crazy. She said, yup, Soup. She said, you were telling the story. And you were telling that, that she said, you were saying that they said that we're apes because we were talking about the planet of the apes. And she said, Soup, she said, I don't know where you be getting your stuff. I almost fell out the bed laughing. She said, you said, we're not, we're not as close to apes as they are. I said, think about it. I said, the hair of an ape is not his color. His skin color is his skin color. I said, the hair of an ape may be gray, may be black or whatnot. I said, but the hair, I said, but the skin of an ape is white. They got a little bit. They got little bitty things, and they steal everything they put their hands on. I said, who does that represent? Okay? And I still stand by what I see. Okay? All right.
But you know what? Another thing I wanted to touch on. You know, Sean was really a mess, man, wasn't he? I mean, all right now, he was blessed at first. Y'all gave him all, you know, gave him all that power, but he got like these, remind me of Trump and him, get that power grab and just went into his full ego. His head bloated up.
Who you talking about, King Saul?
Yeah.
Hey, okay. Slow down. What are you saying about King Saul? What did he do?
I'm saying, like, if he want to kill David, his ego, everything, he just let everything get to him.
Oh, yeah, he was ego run amok. He was in some sort of way, as we said.
Yeah, he was taking things and thought he could take things into his own hands. So he forgot about who had the real power. You know, he thought he was all that now.
But you know what, Abby, a lot of us are like that. A lot of us are like King Saul, truth be told, even today. Even in modern times, there are a lot of men and women just like King Saul.
Okay? They better learn, like you said, brother, to be humble. You'll get further when you're humble. Humble yourself.
To be told. And piggybacking on that, Abby, y'all being humble, I like to say, I don't like the word piggyback. I like more so lamb back. Let me lamb back right off
the bat.
Yeah,
lamb back.
Leave that pork
alone.
Yeah, I'll do that pork. So let me lamb back off what you just said. If it wasn't for Yah, I can guarantee you Yum Soup wouldn't be alive today. And I think Cottrell can attest to the very same thing because he and I are about the same age. He got me by a month. He know he my elder, but that's all right, by a month. But nevertheless, Cottrell and I wouldn't be here, but I'm going to speak for me. And I wouldn't have the same.
Young with the snapping.
Okay, whatever. Let me finish mine. Did I stop you when you were getting your praise? Thank you very much. Don't stop me when I'm getting my praise. We didn't stop you, Abby.
No,
we getting your praise, okay? Let me give me my praise, and I'm going to give him my praise and thanksgiving, and then you come back and you say whatever you want to say. Thank you very much. So let me praise y'all for everything. Even Abby, who rudely interrupts me sometimes when I'm giving my praise. Well, thank her.
Calling the kettle black?
Oh, whatever.
Thank you.
I'm going to just say this. Like King Dawood said, why are you picking on me? Like King Dawood told his brother, why y'all picking on me?
We're trying to help you see yourself, though. Oh, King Saul. King Saul was blind. He couldn't see his shortcomings.
You're right. You're right, Abby. It is a pot called a kettle black. But just finish giving my praise, please. I want to thank y'all for everything, for Abby, y'all for Cottrell, for the Real Talk for Real People show. Everything I am, everything I hope to be, because if it wasn't for y'all, I wouldn't have the opportunity to be on this show to attest to y'all's word, to present y'all's word, to help people see the connection with y'all. They have the friendship of Katria and Avia, both from New York City. And I'd like to thank him for everything. If it wasn't for Yah, I wouldn't be nothing and I wouldn't have everything. All praises to God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaakov. Yah, I-L-O-M. Katria, what say you, my brother and friend?
I want to give a shout out and praise to the Most High God, God Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, for bringing us together, family and friends. I want to give a shout out to our family and friends. Little Gregory, we ain't heard from him in a little while. Hope Most High blessing him and keeping him, his little baby brother. And also Iman Wendy Pettis and Iman Hadora.
Amen.
And Brother Ray Yah and
Yehuda.
All the family that we haven't heard from in a while.
Rayyad. Right.
Excuse me. Excuse me.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Is that the pot? Is that the pot?
Be quiet, Abby, y'all. Let the man give his praise. Why are you interrupting him?
Cartel, get him.
I'm still here. And my heart, every minute that it beats, gives praise to Yah. So as long as I'm alive, my essence just loves and praises the Holy One of Israel. And I pray for the salvation and deliverance of our people. Pray that Yah wakes us up, that we get these lessons and take the antidote and begin to humble ourselves, begin to love each other instead of envying each other, and begin to love Yah so that that relationship is reestablished, because we've broken it and we wandering like we're in a coma. So
amen.
I pray that Yah, as he watches us and continues to guard and shield and protect us from all hurt, harm, and danger, even though we're in the lands of our enemy, we continue to thank him for his mercy and his love that he has towards us.
Amen.
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 All right. Abiyah Cottrell, I want to thank both of you. Abiyah, you always a tremendous help when we get lost. And Cottrell and I do get lost in these studies. We forget where we at sometimes.
Where will we be without our sisters, man?
Yeah, without Abiyah, keeping us on the track, the hand that rocks the cradle.
No
so keeping us on the track. So thank you, Abiyah, for that. Thank you, Cottrell, for working. Thank you, Abiyah. And thank you, Cottrell, for your co-equal efforts in presenting Yah's word and breaking it down for us like we're 4 years old so we can get to the root of the matter, so we can connect with the matter, and so we can get the elixir, the antidote from the matter. And thank you
to Brother Yah, too, for the invitation.
Yeah.
I mean to interrupt you. I'm sorry. I apologize like you do to me. But,
right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
No, but we're family, brother. We're family, just like Abiyah. We like to pick and joke with each other. We don't take it personal.
I just wanted to take up the pot and the kettle a little bit.
Okay.
It's my turn to interrupt somebody.
Okay, go ahead.
Young Gregory is very displeased about not seeing his line up on the wall.
His line?
For the show.
Oh, I didn't put it on. I didn't put it on today.
No, sir.
I told you. Okay, I told you my thinker broke.
Clicked on the old one twice, thinking you would catch a hint, but I guess not.
Why didn't you just text me a message, Sue? Hey, you ain't put it up. Next time that happens, tell Greggy I do apologize. That I'm getting old. That I'm getting older. I'm getting a little slower. But I'm gonna blame it on his grandmama. I'm gonna say she didn't tell me. Hey, Gregory, if you listen, Gregory, if you listen, that's your mama, your grandma. Your grandma didn't tell me, Greg. It wasn't my fault. It wasn't my fault. She didn't tell me.
I know y'all on the other end. You know, grandma wouldn't do that to you, baby. Grandma always speaks the truth.
Well,
she said it, John, too. His finger is really broken.
Yeah, my finger really is broken. I say it all the time. And see, and that being said, Gregory, I know my finger is broken. I do apologize. But I didn't lie on him. I said she didn't remind me. She normally reminds me a whole lot of stuff. But she didn't remind me this time. What part she played in it, Gregory? What part your grandma played in it?
I didn't want to send you to the roof. Shalom.
Yeah. Yeah. Shalom, Abby.
You're all good. Out of the roof.
Have a good weekend, brother.
You're all for that, Abby. All right. Katria, Abby, may the Most High bless you. May you have a safe weekend. May your family be blessed. And may the Most High bless you and show you his love. And thank you, brother. And listeners, fellow students, and may the Most High bless you also, direct and order your steps, and may he show you his love and mercy and loving kindness. We love you. May the Most High bless you. Shalom and good night.
morning. Broken eyes, broken heads, people sleeping round in broken beds. Ain't no use jiving, ain't no use in joking. Look around you, everything is broken. Broken bottles and then broken slates, broken switches and them broken gates, broken dishes and them broken parts. The streets are filling up with all those broken hearts. Broken words never meant to be spoken. Everything is broken. Songs.